Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure, as always. And you're going to be glad you did, because our good friend Reva Lazansky is back on the show. Reva is a longtime friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. And she and I were actually together last week in Chicago when we were both at the Association of Small Business Development Centers conference, their annual conference that was in Chicago. And we got to see each other face to face, which is a lot great fun for me. Now, maybe not so great for her, but she's with us now. She's got some things on her mind. By the way, folks, she is also CEO of SMB Connects, which is her own small business. How about that? Reva Lazansky, welcome back to the show.
It's great to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you back. It was great seeing you last week.
I know. It was so much fun. And you know what? It was so mentally stimulating being around, you know, people like you and other people who just really care about small business and where it's headed and how we can help, you know, people get there and make it happen.
Isn't it fun to see the energy that people who, like you say, like you and all the people there at the SBDCs, how they care about small business? It's a... If you've never seen it, you know, I have brought several of my sponsors to these events, and they've never been around that many small business supporters before.
Yeah.
And they knew me, they knew you, they love small business, and they're dedicated to small business, but they never really had been around a community of people like chambers of commerce, like small business development mm-hmm. centers, that kind of thing. They've never been around that kind of a community, those kinds of families. And I brought several of my sponsors to those events. And once they see that and feel that energy, they're hooked.
Exactly. You know, it's kind of one of the little hidden secrets of entrepreneurship.
Yeah, it is.
Is that there's so many people who are so dedicated to helping others start and grow businesses, and that when they get together, there's just this excitement that just,
yep.
I mean, you can feel it. It's palpable. That just generates.
It's because of small business, Reva, because I say small business owners are the panda bears of the marketplace.
Yeah,
we're the pandas because, see, I mean, what's more cuddly and huggable looking than a panda, right? When pandas come to town, don't everybody line up to see them? They want to see these things.
They're right. So
cute and lovable. Well, small businesses are like that, see? We're so cute and huggable and lovable, and so people just want to be around us.
That's
the story I'm sticking to, Reva. But seriously, have you ever met, I bet you're like me, I've never met a chamber professional or a small business development center counselor who wouldn't have been capable of going and getting a better job, a higher paying job tomorrow.
No, you're absolutely right.
But they love what they do, they're dedicated to what they do, they're not going to get rich doing it, and every one of them could do better if they wanted to somewhere else, but they love these pandas.
No, you know what, you're absolutely right. I mean, you've done it, I've done it. I think it's the high you get from helping, from seeing, helping mm-hmm. someone take nothing. Just take absolutely nothing. You start with nothing but an idea, and then one day, you know, wow, there's an idea. And then you help them mold this and grow this, and mm-hmm. it becomes a business, and that business goes about, you know, filling some need, helping other people, and it's a great cycle.
There's another thing that happens in a small business's growth. That small business starts giving back.
Yes.
And boy, yep. howdy, I don't even want to think, Reva, and I know you agree with me, I don't even want to think about what the world would look like if it weren't for the 28 million small business owners in the aggregate giving back to the world.
No, you know, you're absolutely right. I think that the civilians out there, I can't think of a better term, they don't really think about on a daily basis how much small businesses and small business owners impact their lives. And I think that's really sad in America. You know, you and I, we're big advocates, and we get it, and we know what small business owners do and how they give back and how they create all the jobs and all the innovations and everything that's really positive in the American economy comes from small businesses, and yet they still don't get the credit they deserve.
That's exactly right. You know, every champion small business owner I've ever interviewed on my show, part of their story was, and this was totally ungratuitously, I mean, just mentioning it basically just kind of matter-of-factly, part of their story was their goal, part of their business goal was to give back to the community.
Yes.
They had a conscious, active program for giving back to the community. That's what small business owners do all the time. Stand by, Reva. We come back. Reva's got some trends, some small business trends that she's identified that she wants to talk to us about. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. A little bit of Steely Dan bringing us back. Is there a better band than Steely Dan? Okay, maybe some that are tied, but how could you be better than that? Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're rocking and rolling with our good friend Reva Lazansky. She's the co-author of Start Your Business, which is now in its fourth edition, maybe fifth edition. For all I know, one thing I know is that's the last copy that I have. Something under a billion copies were sold, weren't they, Reva?
That's the last copy there's going to be. It's the fourth edition because I no longer work at entrepreneurs, anymore.
You've left them, but still, a lot of people are benefiting from this book. She's a CEO of her own small business, SMB Connects, and Reva, you've identified some trends, some new ideas, some new thinking that you're seeing in the future in your Reva's crystal ball. Tell us about them.
Yeah, you know, it's always good at this time of year to sort of look forward and, you know, what's going to happen next year? How's it going to change? How's the overall marketplace going to change, and what can small business owners do to take advantage of that? And one trend that we're seeing, and it's not year one for it, it's probably year three, but it's sustainable, which is, you know, a pun, is right. The green trend. It's sustainable. I think that green has been going on a long time. It goes back, you know, decades.
It's now in the mainstream, though, isn't it?
And now it's become mainstream. You see even big companies touting their greenness.
Even non-tree huggers like me are thinking and talking green.
Yes. Even non-tree huggers like you are sitting there going, maybe there's something to this. Maybe I should, you know.
Well, I can see how it would put some more money on my bottom line. You know, that motivates me.
You're nicer than that, Jim. So what we're seeing, though, with green, the big thing you have to do with it, and whether you're going to come up with a green product, you know, there's been, if you walk down the aisle of a store like Target or something, you can see a lot of new products, not just from the big guys, but that have been developed from smaller entrepreneurs that are green cleaning supplies, green, you know, just anything like that. And the key to being green is to let people know you're green. Survey after survey of the American consumer public has shown that they want to do business with companies that are green. So you need to let people know that you are, and you need to point that out in your advertising, in your marketing. Maybe that's a competitive advantage that 5 years ago didn't exist. So,
and you know, it was a time, in the words of that great philosopher Kermit, it's not easy being green. There was a time when it wasn't easy being green.
No,
but now, every day that goes by, the marketplace is there's not, never mind the marketplace, there is a green marketplace popping up, isn't there?
Yes, there is. And it, a lot of it's driven by the younger generation, for lack of a better term. I mean,
yeah.
People call them Gen Y, the millennials.
Yeah.
But they're the kids who are like probably 20 to 28. And I think it goes down earlier, you know, younger than that. My niece is 16, and she's very
yeah.
environmentally conscious.
Oh, yeah.
And so she'll only buy certain products, you know, in her, what she buys at 16,
mm-hmm.
that are friendly
she's
to the environment.
But she's conscious of it.
She's very conscious
That's
of it.
That's the thing.
So.
See, we're all more conscious of it. We look for products that use recyclable materials and recycled
yes.
materials. We look for, you know, I mean, even I bought... bought fluorescent lights for instead of incandescent lights one time recently.
Wow.
How about that?
Yeah. See? I mean, all my lights have been that way for a while, Jim.
Well, I'm a slow adopter.
Welcome
Reva.
To the fold. No.
Yeah.
No, but you know what? And that's really it. So the American public knows that there are little things that they can do. So entrepreneurs who can take advantage of that. And you can see green. Green shows up in, like I said before, cleaning supplies, but it's showing up in clothing. It's more organic cotton for clothing made out of bamboo, because bamboo is an easily
bamboo is an incredible fiber, isn't it?
It is.
Did you know that they're making structural members out of bamboo? Do you know that?
No.
And that bamboo as a structural material can be used in places where steel won't work.
Really? No, I didn't
yeah.
know that.
Bamboo is an they're making clothes out of it. They're
yes.
making flooring out of it. Bamboo is an incredible resource.
I know. They're making housewares, plates out
yeah.
of it. I mean,
yeah.
You can
buy a suit out of bamboo.
Right. And the thing about bamboo, you chop it down and it just grows. It replenishes itself.
They tell
easily.
Me the only way, if you have bamboo in your yard, the only way to get rid of it is to move.
Right. Right. Nobody should. If you're listening, do not plant bamboo
in
your yard.
Yeah. Do not do this at home, folks. This is
right.
These people who have it are professionals. Don't try that at
right.
home.
You can put it in a container if you
yeah.
want, but don't
yeah.
put it in the ground, because it will take over everything.
But you know, the thing that's so interesting to me about all this, I really believe that the United States can in the 21st century, that we should lead the world in alternative energy sources, in innovative energy sources,
mm-hmm.
and it'll take a combination, Reva, of all of us becoming more conscious of energy efficient and environmentally proper products, and that combined with the logical phasing out of our dependence upon carbon fuel, which is going to take a long time, but a combination of what we're talking about now. The phasing out of carbon over time and the new innovations, the United States can lead the world in a way that no other country, I think, is poised to do that. What do you think?
No, I agree with you, and I think we have to before we run out of what we need to keep us going.
Absolutely. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. Right back with Reva Lozansky. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Little Spencer Davis Group bringing us back. The voice you're about to hear is the 16 or 17-year-old voice of Steve Winwood, ladies and gentlemen. Believe it or not, that's him right there. Great song, great rock and roll song, back when Steve Winwood was just a pup. Reva Lozansky is just a pup too. She's just a baby. CEO of SMB Connects, and our good friend Reva Lozansky. Reva, give us your website, please.
My website is askreva.com, but you can go to Brian Moran's website, smallbusinessedge.com.
Right.
Because I'm the editor of Brian's magazines as well.
Exactly.
So there's a lot of at my website. All you can do is ask me a question. At Brian's website, you can learn stuff. So until I get a better website,
we're working on that. I know you're working on that. So smallbusinessedge.com. We know Brian
yeah.
really well, and it was good
yeah.
to see him last week too. Okay, what are some other trends that we can see coming at us?
Well, one of the things that are really big, and it's very started On the coast, and I think it's working its way in. And as I said last week, I was talking to the SBDC trainers last week about this, is yogurt, but it's not the kind of frozen yogurt.
Yogurt?
That, yes, and it's not
I love peach yogurt.
Yes, see, but that's it's different. It's not sweetened yogurt. It's this pink berry. I don't know if you know pink berry, Jim. People here on the it started on the East Coast, West Coast, you know, L.A., New York.
I don't do pink much.
Well, it's Starbucks actually invested a lot in pinkberry. And so it's yogurt, it's frozen, but it's not sweetened. And the sweetener comes from what they serve it with, which is generally fresh fruit. But it's you have to have a taste for this. A friend of mine was, you know, just
when you travel when you travel in the Middle East, and you go to their breakfast presentation, there's this huge bowl of just yogurt.
Yes, other cultures
and then you,
like
and then you,
yogurt.
And you put whatever you eat it by itself, or you put whatever fruit is around it in it, and that's how you sweeten it.
Right, and that's what this is. It started in Korea.
Yeah.
This phenomenon. Anyway, they're taking over the coast. I mean, Pinkberry was going to franchise, and then when it was invested in by the Starbucks investment arm, I think they stopped franchising. I think they're going to go company owned. But there are
so this is going to be is this going to be like a food like a lunch meal or
no,
something or is it
a
dessert?
It's the new dessert, and I personally think it's sort of a little trendy. I think it's got probably a 2-3 year arc, and then it's going to go away. But other people are going, you're crazy. And I have to tell you, I live here in Southern California, and so entrepreneurs have opened up their own version.
See, I love frozen yogurt.
Well, see, I
look for that in the airports
so
and things.
I look for
frozen yogurt. It's a good snack. It's good food, too. It's healthy.
It's healthy. And that's part of the appeal of this. It's something, you know, you can eat sort of as a
but
treat,
see,
but it's
but
healthy
see, I wish
for
they,
you.
I wish they had a better name for it because Pinkberry, see, I might have a little problem with my ego, my male ego.
Well, the other chain, there is a chain called Red Mango. Are you more
comfortable I like that.
With that?
I like that, yeah. or how about camouflage yogurt or something like, you know, I could do that, yeah.
And then here there's an independent here in Southern California called Yogurtland. Anyway, you go by there in the afternoon and they're lined up out the door for this.
Yeah.
So
are you talking about should we look for franchising opportunities? Or
I think franchising opportunities, again, I caution it. I think it will always be very strong in certain areas. If your city has an Asian population, it's very, very popular.
Or Middle East. Middle Eastern.
Or listen, Middle Eastern, yes.
The Middle Easterners invented yogurt.
It's not sweet to the American taste. But on the other hand, they're lined up out the door. Everybody is lined up out the door.
Interesting.
So I think that's really hot.
Well, you know, TCBY took the country by storm. And now it's you don't see that many of them out there.
Right. Because,
unfortunately,
you know,
because they had a good product.
They did, but a lot of the ice cream companies that existed at the time took that yogurt and adapted it into their menu. So, you know, that's easily done here, too. But I think that if you are located near college campuses, young people like to experiment with food more, you know, are more adaptive of it. So I think that that's a good idea.
See, what I see, instead of a freestanding unit, maybe just have that kind of food available in another type of restaurant.
Right.
Like where some restaurants have added, the coffee, some coffee brand to their menu.
Right.
Like,
absolutely.
Like Javalier or something like that.
Right. I think the business will be more sustainable that way. It'll be less of a fad. But cupcakes are also hot. Now, there's something
I like
we
cupcakes.
Can all relate to.
But listen, cupcake, we got to go for this hour. Thank you. My favorite cupcake, Reva Lazowski. Thank you, Reva, for being here.
Good job, Jim, today.
We'll see you next time.
Okay.
We had fun. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And as you know, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.